tunnel like that. They need to find the way. There is some things hidden in the picture for you to find. And it's all about King David. Children, have you seen a crown somewhere around there? We've got crowns. We've got, what else have we got? Uni, what have you got in the floor there? Oh, wait. Gold. And we're going to talk about something that was made of gold. Yeah, what else? What else is on the floor? Like something shiny there. Oh, red. A cape. An egg, a shaker. It's not about that. There's no agony in this story. But yes, so today we're going to talk about King David. Okay, let me start sharing with you. So if someone comes to you in any situation today, say, Hannah, how is it like to be a Christian? Good. I'm glad you're positive about it. Some of us would find it easy to answer. And probably they would say, yeah, well, in a country like the UK, where churches can offer quite a comfortable community and service, as we are overall healthier than other churches around the world, we are not a rich church, really, materialistic speaking, but we have enough, don't we? We have a comfortable building, we help our community in different ways, and we are not persecuted for being Christians or by our government. Also, in the sense of personal choices and mutual respect, being a Christian in the UK doesn't offer us too many challenging situations on the daily basis. Other people, though, could answer that question in a different way. They could say, I find it very difficult to be a Christian. We have to hear so much criticism from inside and from outside our community, how we do things, if we buy fair trade chocolate or not, or how do we behave when we are surrounded by non-Christians, how should we dress up or behave during Sunday services? What do we believe about this and that, and why we believe in those things? You need to know, why do you believe that? Tell me why, but does it still fit in our nowadays society? So some people would find quite that very difficult. Well, those thoughts came to my mind when I was thinking and praying about today's theme, behaving. Living for God and for God's kingdom. The theme also made me think about expectations and how our behavior is somehow connected to the expectations of the people that look at us and the people that we are surrounded by. We have different patterns of behavior, and of course, there's nothing wrong with it, generally. You can't behave the same way, let's say, for children as they are in the playground as when they're in school. So that's fair enough. But this theme brought to mind this chapter there, and I wanted the children, look at me now. Shall we look at this screen now? We're going to watch a video, and we're going to see a king going a bit crazy.
A long time ago, there was a box called the Ark of the Covenant. It was a holy box that contained items that reminded people of God's faithfulness to them. God's power surrounded this box. Moving it from one place to another required extreme care. King David decided to move the ark to Jerusalem so that he could keep it safe. He gathered 30,000 of Israel's best men to move it. They loaded the ark on a cart and pushed it all the way to Jerusalem. While they moved the ark, David and the men celebrated with all their might. As they traveled, they made a joyful noise to the Lord with all kinds of noisemakers. As they brought the ark into the city of David, the streets were filled with shouts and the sound of trumpets. King David was so excited about the ark's arrival in his city that he was dancing in the streets in his underwear. His wife, Michal, saw this from a window and was unhappy with David's leaping and dancing before the Lord. David put the Ark of the Covenant in the place he had designated for it and went home. When he got there, Michal was waiting for him. She was disappointed and angry. She told David that the king of Israel should know better than to dance around in the streets in his underwear. But David was not embarrassed. He told her that he was dancing for the Lord. He said it didn't matter what he was wearing. He would celebrate and be happy before the Lord. He didn't care what anybody said or what other people thought. King David was so happy that he couldn't contain it. He had to dance and celebrate all the Lord had done for him and his people.
Thank you, Pete. Yes, so children, now we know why we've got this here. So this could be the clothes of a king, right? And underneath all that, this very posh robes. Not robes, how do you say when you... Robe, yeah, the top one, yeah. And what he used to wear underneath, it was an ephod. It was something like this. Very simple, very humble. Because it was a symbol, so that's why I've got the gold there. So the ark represented God's presence at that time. Of course, everything now is different after Jesus, right? But King David was very, very happy because that represented God's presence and glory. King David longed to have the Ark of the Covenant relocated to Jerusalem. He knew that once the Ark was in the city, all of Israel could worship the Lord together. King David had a plan, and first of all, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's quite long, but I welcome you to read it, 2 Samuel chapter 6. First of all, it didn't start too well because Uzzah lost his life. He meant well, but he didn't follow God's instructions fully. So David's magnificent plan didn't work too well. They left the ark where it was in Obed-Edom's house. And after a little break, David was a bit like, I don't want to take the ark. I don't know what's going to happen. Look what happened with Uzzah. After about 3 months, the King David heard in verse 11 that God had blessed Obed-Edom for having the ark. So he tried again. He went down and brought the ark of God, and things seemed to be working better this time. He offered sacrifices. He did all in the best way possible. And the Bible said, David went with rejoicing. So let's talk about David's behavior here. He was a king. In verse 14, it shows that King David's behavior was total freedom in God's presence. David was there dancing, wearing a simple linen ephod like this, praising God, overwhelmed with joy. His robe, his position, his protocol as a king wasn't very important as giving himself fully to worship and praising the Lord Almighty. His people, the entire house of Israel, was celebrating with shouts. Children, can you shout for me very loud? Yeah. They don't shout where we want them to shout, do they? Can we say, praise the Lord? Yes. Can you imagine that multitude of people just worshiping, playing, singing, playing like Noah was playing this morning? Amazing. Everyone was so overjoyed. What a picture. I would love to see that when we get to heaven. I do think in heaven we're going to have a cinema and we can watch all the Old Testament things. I hope so, because I'm so curious. Curious how did it look like? But this is not biblical. Don't write it down, okay? It's just something I would love to go to the cinema in heaven, yeah. But a question for us as church members, church family, a question for you and me. When was the last time that you were so full of joy that you could not contain how you felt? When was the last time that you had a joyful moment in the presence of the Lord? In Acts 16, verse 16 to 40, it tells us the story of Paul and Silas, and they were beaten, they were jailed because they helped a little girl, freed her from an evil spirit, right? So they were locked away. Paul and Silas kept singing and praising hymns to God. At midnight, how embarrassing, how inconvenient. And God sent an earthquake, and the prison's doors flew open. This is true. This is not just a story. Praise gives us freedom. Do you know the other thing praise gives us? A natural Botox. People trying to do Botox, look better, do these or that. But look what the Bible says. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, a glad heart makes a happy face, but a broken heart crushes the spirit. Praising God gives us freedom, brings beauty to our faces. Amen? This is how we should behave before God. But this behavior brought some reaction. King David's behavior provoked different feelings in different people. For the people that were partying and worshiping with him, it was joy and happiness. But in the verse 17, we see that his first wife, Michal, despised him in his heart. Was it because of his daddy dance? Was it because he didn't know how to dance really well? You know, when you dance in front of your children and the kids go, oh, mom, please. I don't think it was that. But no, Michal's expectations for David and how a king should behave were very different than that. In verse 20, we read that when David returned home, can you imagine? He was overjoyed. He was so happy. He came back home to bless his family, the Bible says. And Michal came to meet him. And I got another version of the Bible, the contemporary English version. And it says like this. But Saul's daughter, Michal, went out and started yelling at him. You were really great today. You acted like a dirty old man, dancing around half naked in front of your servants' slave girls. Wow. Can you imagine listening to that after a moment of euphoria before God, after such a joyful moment? Minutes ago, David was in pure joy, and now he faces criticism from an outsider. I say outsider because even though she was his wife, she wasn't sharing the same spirit of joy, and probably her focus wasn't in the meaningful moment that was happening in Israel, but how the king leveled himself in a lower position in society. Michal put him in the same position as the slave girls of his servants. I'm sure you can think of at least one situation that you were ridiculed by someone that was looking from the window. You know, someone, you were doing something, serving God, and someone that had nothing to do about it just came and said something really negative to you. That happens. That happens a lot in church. Maybe you were trying to be generous. We were trying to help a homeless. I don't know. Or not taking advantage in a situation or just doing something different in church. In the Sermon of the Mountain in Matthew 5, 11 to 12, we read Jesus saying, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice, be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there we go. What happened after that? King David had a response to Michal. He wasn't fazed by her criticism. David said to Michal, I was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler of the Lord's people, Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this, and I'll be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I'll be held in honor. He knew that God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. With his attitude, David showed us that when we humiliate ourselves, we gain honor before God for the simple fact that we are in God's presence, living the truth of God's kingdom on earth. Now, we have some questions to think about. I won't be long, it's about 5 minutes to go. How does humiliation look for you? How does it look like for you? For me, it's when I have to ask forgiveness to someone because I have reacted in a bad way or said something I shouldn't do. For me, it's very humiliating when I have to break an ice wall and talking to a young person about Jesus, and they are just there living their own lives, and I just think, can I talk to you about Jesus? That is very humiliating. And especially, you know, some youth workers look very cool when they are nice. And, I'm nearly 40 now. You feel like, oh, gosh, would they listen to me? But I know what I'm called for. Earlier on, I've asked the church, when was the last time you felt overjoyed? And now I ask you, and I ask myself, have people's opinions and reactions about your faith have stopped you from behaving how Jesus wants you to behave? Are the people's expectations have put a cap on how Christian you should be in different contexts? Which kingdom are we adapting more to? I don't know if you've seen these pictures. Oh, down. Have you come across this? The blob book. We use a lot in youth work and all that. So normally if we have a youth work session or something, you would say, how you feel today? If you're one of those, do you feel the one that is really happy, like number 10 there in the middle? Or, oh, I do feel so grumpy, number 5. Can you see number 5? So grumpy. Oh, I don't feel good today. I really don't like old age services. I'm just here because I didn't have what else to do at home. Or, you know, what is it? Who would you feel like? And if we had a blob picture about this Bible scene, which one would you be? This is Uzzah. I don't know how to say his name properly. I think it's Uzzah. Okay. He was someone that didn't follow God's guidance fully. The ark stayed in his house for a long time, so I think he knew he was son of the man that had the ark, right? He was like, yeah, I've been around for a long time. I think I know what to do. Let's do a chariot and let's do it this way. And he was only meaning well. He really wanted the ark to go to Jerusalem. He was taking his own initiative to fix problems. But things went wrong. Do you think you are Mikael, watching from the distance, judging and trying to control how people should be in church, or in your road, or in your own house? She was also a woman with broken heart. Let's not forget that. She had a difficult life. She married to David, and then she was sent to marry to someone else, and then David asked to marry her again for political reasons. But still, she didn't call upon the Lord. Or are you David, disrobing yourself from any human position, expectations or code of conduct, and focusing primarily on God and giving God his whole self in joy and worship? I'll read this later. Our joy and our praises are not just like a spiritual hokey pokey. You know that music, that song? I give my old self in, my old self out, in, out, shake it all about. We need to give our whole self in all the time. I know sometimes it's difficult, not just a hand, not just one foot, but God needs us fully in his presence. Emmanuel, when she read the psalm this morning, we read that we need to go, she called us to sing a new song to God in Psalm 149. Our worship and attitude in God's presence need to be fresh, need to be renewed every day, like God's mercy is renewed every day. Amen? Lamentations 3, verse 22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." Every day we have a reason to praise and worship him. Can we ask the band to come up again whilst I finish? Sing praises in the assembly of the faithful. This is it. This is here today. This is God's assembly. Let us sing to God together as he takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble. Thank you, Noah, you come. He crowns the humble with victory. Today we have God's presence amongst us. Today I call myself and all of us to press into God, to get closer to him and his presence. How joyful should we be for having the Holy God living in us? Can I have the other one? I'm just going to finish now. In Acts 2, when just after Pentecost, people were telling that, what's wrong with them? They're speaking in a different way. Are they all drunk? And Peter said in Acts 2, "We are not drunk. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit and all people, our sons and our daughters will prophesy. Our young men will see visions. Our old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Amen? We often talk about the last days as all the bad things that are happening. Yes, there is war happening. There is the love of many are making weak and weak. There's so much bad happening in the world. But this is what happened in God's kingdom. Amen? If you're old, if you're young, if you're a son, if you're a daughter, there is a place for you in God's kingdom. Just to finish before the song, James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Can we stand up? Let's pray. Lord, this song we're going to sing now, it says, "I will offer up my life." And we don't have anything else to give you, Lord. We just have this life that you gave us. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you hear, you listen to this worship now. You move in our hearts this morning, Lord, that you receive this pure worship because you alone deserve it. Lord, help us to have the right behavior, the right attitude before you, before our neighbors, before our families. We know we make mistakes, but we want to come back to you every day, and we want to serve you and glorify your name because you deserve all the glory.
Pouring out the overflow as my life. Thank you. As we just end our service now, let's just pray and I'll say a blessing on us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our time today in our church. And we thank you for the things that we have been hearing, whether it's some testimonies from across the seas or from local here. Thank you for the prayers that we've offered you. And now we ask you to go with us and look after us today, this week, and for all of August if we are going away. So please watch over us and thank you for being with us today. Amen. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. Amen. There are teas and coffees, hot teas and coffee, very, very hot teas and coffees, and some cold drinks as well. Out the back, biscuits. Sorry, I should have said that first. Biscuits accompanied with drinks. Thank you for coming. Thanks, Noah.